worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead, and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering, and in God's kingdom, and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day, and I was worshiping in the Spirit. Suddenly, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet blast. It said, write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you've seen, both the things that are now happening and the things which will happen. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Verses 1 through 20. Revelation, all of Revelation chapter 1. Lord, thank you once again for the power, the wisdom, the grace, the anointing, the strengthening that's found in your word. And thank you for the many ways your word guides us, counsels us, molds and shapes us, and empowers us to be the servants you called us to be, and that the ways it makes us more and more like you, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, with every passing day, more and more help us to fall more in love with you and with your word, and empower us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word, and set us all afresh on fire with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you'd have us to be. Thank you for each and every one of us in our prayer lives. Bless each and every one of our prayer lives. Indeed, expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd help bring to our minds that we'd remember more often about your coming kingdom, that we'd think about Jesus coming again, and that we'd prepare for that, Father. Father, I also ask that you teach us more about your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I ask that we would work towards that will, and that you would make more of what you are already doing in heaven done here, Father. I also know that worship happens in heaven in the throne room, and so, Father, I ask that you'd help us worship like the worship that is already going on in the throne room. Father, I ask that we would bring your will in that worship here. In your Father, in your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I'd like to remind our listeners once again, my wife Bertie and I have had the privilege to help to start a ministry called the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center. It's a mobile medical pregnancy ministry that functions in the Mississippi Delta. The ministry is up and running, and by the grace of God, it's serving precious young women who may find themselves expecting a baby at a tough time or a challenging time in their lives. Please pray for the ministry. We very much need your prayers. And more or less, pretty much with every passing day, we more and more see the spiritual warfare around this issue. So please pray for the ministry. Again, the name of the ministry is the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. Let me just mention, if you'd like more information about it, go to deltapchc.org. Again, that's deltapchc.org if you'd like more information about it. I'd like to mention, too, if this would be of interest to you, the two books that I've had had the privilege of writing are books that, amongst other things, when you buy them through us or through the ministry, you help support the work of the ministry, as well as each book is meant to be a tool to help strengthen you as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the first book is The Intercession Chronicles, and it's a book that happens to be fiction, but at the same time, it's very much a teaching tool to teach you and empower your prayer life. And at the end of the book, it does have a prayer guide that's similar to the one that we send to listeners when they email us to ask for. It's called Kingdom Prayers at the end of the book. And so if you'd like to get the book, again, the title is The Intercession Chronicles. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. If you'd like to order it through us, as I mentioned, the purchase of the books, amongst other things, helps to support the work of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. My second book is entitled A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. And so that book, too, is a tool to help equip you to become a much better informed pro-life warrior in the kingdom of God. And how important it is that we as believers recognize that God has work for us as the body of Christ to do, because we live in a nation that sadly thinks it's okay to murder babies. And we, every believer, should pray and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do to help end the tragedy of legal abortion in our nation. So again, the book is a tool to help equip you to be a better equipped and a better informed believer in the cause of standing for life and against abortion. Again, the title of the book, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. Again, my email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to tell you how to get both books if you'd like to, as well as be supportive of the work of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. I want to take time now to share specifically an article entitled God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Practicing daily spiritual habits are necessary in our daily walk with the Lord. Why is this true? because followers of Christ are to be passionately faithful in following him. In life, we form habits to help us consistently do things that are important to us, habits that help us accomplish the goals we believe are critical to our lives. I pretty regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word every day. This habit is one of the most important habits in life to establish. Why 3 chapters and why every day? If a believer reads 3 chapters in the Word of God every day, that can be a basic spiritual meal for him or for her. It might be that you read the same chapter 3 times over, or you may read 3 different chapters. Doing either one is fruitful and wise. How is this helpful? Well, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's one-on-one time talking with and spending time with Jesus. It's your daily appointment time with him. The Lord Jesus will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him in his word. It's important for us to read the word of God every single day. Just as our bodies need physical food every day, so too must we feed our spirits every day as well. God's word is food for our spirits like physical food is food for our physical bodies and our physical well-being. Feeding your physical body every day can help you to be strong, vibrant, and healthy. Feeding your spirit the Word of God daily can help you to become strong, vibrant, and spiritually healthy as well. Now, if a man or woman only ate a small snack once every other day, very soon he or she would grow weak physically. Likewise, when a believer only reads a verse or two from the Word of God every day or every other day, he or she will become spiritually weak as well. Sadly, it appears that too many believers live on what you could call a quote-unquote starvation diet spiritually. It's spiritual neglect. Too many believers may not even pick up a Bible for days. It's for this reason that many believers are what you could call spiritually anemic. They're spiritually weak and frail. My suggestion to you is today, start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word daily. It's a way of blessing you and encouraging and rewarding yourself all at the same time. See Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3, and Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. Why not start rewarding yourself today? Here are 10 great reasons to start reading God's Word daily. Number 1, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. See John 3:16, Psalm 119, verse 105, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Number 2, reading the Word daily gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. See Psalm 119, verse 105. See 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 17. A third reason to read the Word daily, it empowers your prayer life. See Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. Number 4, reading God's Word daily sharpens your ability to hear the Holy Spirit more clearly. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. A fifth reason to read the Word daily, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. See Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 22. A sixth reason, it helps you maintain your mental health. According to Dr. Paul Meyer. Number 7, reading the Word daily increases the anointing on every area of your life. See 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. And number 8, reading the Word daily increases your wisdom in every part of life. See Proverbs 1 to 3. 9, it enhances your intellect and personality. It literally can increase your IQ. See 1 Corinthians 1, 5. And number 10, reading the Word daily pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. See 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Timothy 1, 2 as well. Reading 3 chapters a day in the Word of God will bless you tremendously. Let's make it a high priority. And parents, we're wise to have our children have our children read 3 chapters out loud to each one of us every day as well. It will greatly bless our children, you, and your home and your whole life. Again, the title of this article was God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. We'll be right back.
Give you all the praise. Oh, I will.
music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder, a clear reminder that the only way to eternal life and eternal salvation is Jesus Christ. He is eternal life and eternal salvation. We invite you to follow along with us as we're reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 1, starting at verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, "Go down with him and don't be afraid of him." So Elijah got up and went with him to the king. And Elijah said to the king, "This is what the Lord says. Why did you send messengers to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to ask whether you will recover? Is there no god in Israel to answer your questions? Therefore, because you've done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will surely die." So Ahaziah died, just as the Lord had promised, through Elijah. Since Ahaziah did not have a son to succeed him, his brother Joram became the next king. This took place in the second year of the reign of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. The rest of the events in Ahaziah's reign are recorded in the book of the history of the kings of Israel. 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went down together to Bethel. The group of prophets from Bethel came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." But Elisha replied again, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went on together to Jericho. Then the group of prophets from Jericho came to Elisha and asked him, "Did you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Of course I know," Elisha answered, "but be quiet about it." Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again, Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went on together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah replied. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." As they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what happened, they exclaimed, "Elijah's spirit rests upon Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. "Sir," they said, Just say the word, and 50 of our strongest men will search the wilderness for your master. Perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has left him on some mountain or in some valley. No, Elisha said, don't send them. But they kept urging him until they shamed him into agreeing, and he finally said, all right, send them. So 50 men searched for 3 days, but did not find Elijah. Elisha was still at Jericho when they returned. Didn't I tell you not to go? He asked. One day, the leaders of the town of Jericho visited Elisha. We have a problem, my lord, they told him. This town is located in pleasant surroundings, as you can see, but the water is bad and the land is unproductive. Elisha said, bring me a new bowl with salt in it. So they brought it to him. Then he went out to the spring that supplied the town with water and threw the salt into it. And he said, this is what the Lord says. I have purified this water. It will no longer cause death or infertility. And the water has remained pure ever since, just as Elisha said. Elisha left Jericho and went up to Bethel. As he was walking along the road, a group of boys from the town began mocking and making fun of him. Go away, Baldy, they chanted. Go away, Baldy. Elisha turned around and looked at them, and he cursed them in the name of the Lord. Then two bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 of them. From there, Elisha went to Mount Carmel and finally returned to Samaria. 2 Kings chapter 3. Ahab's son Joram began to rule over Israel in the 18th year of King Jehoshaphat's reign in Judah. He reigned in Samaria 12 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, but not to the same extent as his father and mother. He at least tore down the sacred pillar of Baal that his father had set up. Nevertheless, he continued in the sins that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, had committed and led the people of Israel to commit. King Mesha of Moab was a sheep breeder. He used to pay the king of Israel annual tribute of 100,000 lambs and the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab's death, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Joram promptly mustered the army of Israel and marched to Samaria. On the way, he sent this message to King Jehoshaphat of Judah. The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you join me in battle against him? And Jehoshaphat replied, why, of course. You and I are as one. My troops are your troops, and my horses are your horses. Then Jehoshaphat asked, what route will we take? We will attack from the wilderness of Edom, Joram replied. The king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies traveled along a roundabout route through the wilderness for 7 days, but there was no water for the men or their animals. What should we do? The king of Israel cried out. The Lord has brought the three of us here to let the king of Moab defeat us. But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him. One of King Joram's officers replied, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant. Jehoshaphat said, yes, the Lord speaks through him. So the kings of Israel, Judah and Edom, went to consult with Elisha. Why are you coming to me? Elisha asked the king of Israel. Go to the pagan prophets of your father and mother. But King Joram of Israel said, no, for it was the Lord who called us three kings here, only to be defeated by the king of Moab. Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now bring me someone who can play the harp." While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals. But this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. You will conquer the best of their towns, even the fortified ones. You will cut down all their good trees, stop up all their springs, and ruin all their good land with stones." The next day, at about the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, water suddenly appeared. It was flowing from the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. Meanwhile, when the people of Moab heard about the three armies marching against them, they mobilized every man who was old enough to strap on a sword, and they stationed themselves along their border. But when they got up the next morning, the sun was shining across the water, making it appear red to the Moabites like blood. "It's blood," the Moabites exclaimed. The three armies must have attacked and killed each other. "Let's go, men of Moab, and collect the plunder. But when the Moabites arrived at the Israelite camp, the army of Israel rushed out and attacked them until they turned and ran. The army of Israel chased them into the land of Moab, destroying everything as they went. They destroyed the towns, covered their good land with stones, stopped up all the springs, and cut down all the good trees. Finally, only Ker Hareseth and its stone walls were left, but men with slings surrounded and attacked it. When the king of Moab saw that he was losing the battle, he led 700 of his swordsmen in a desperate attempt to break through the enemy lines near the king of Edom, but they failed. Then the king of Moab took his oldest son, who would have been the next king, and sacrificed him as a burnt offering on the wall. So there was great anger against Israel, and the Israelites withdrew and returned to their own land. 2 Kings chapter 4. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her, and then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left." Verses 1 through 7, 2 Kings chapter 4. Thank you again, Father, for your word. Thank you for the blessings, the grace, the power that flows into our lives as we read and meditate on your word every day. Father, more and more, help us to recognize, Lord, that the word of God is you, and you are your word. And as we take the time to read and meditate on your word, and as we take the time to have our children read your word out loud to us, we're allowing you and your presence more and more to work wonderfully and mightily in our homes, in our hearts, and in our lives. Father, more and more, with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word. And help us to become much more the faithful hearers and doers of your word you've called us to be as well. And Lord, help us to recognize that in this world, the answer to all of our problems, all of our challenges, all of our difficulties are the word of God. Help us to believe that and to pray that way and expect that way as well. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're reading through the Word of God. We'll be right back.
Last night put the heavy on me. Woke up and I'm feeling lonely. This world got a way of showing me. Some days it'll lift you up. Some days it'll call you bluff. Man, most of my days I ain't got enough. And all I know is you're my only hope.
Toby Mac with I Just Need You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up here. The book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, if you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, Put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right word so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. To bring you up to date, Tychicus will give you a full report about what I'm doing and how I'm getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. End of the book of Ephesians. The book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. I pray that your love will overflow more and more and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. And I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, knows that I am in chains because of Christ. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers here have gained confidence and boldly speak of God's message without fear. It's true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry, but others preach about Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know that I have been appointed to defend the good news. Those others do not have pure motives as they preach about Christ. They preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful for me. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way. So I rejoice, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I've been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. And when I come to you again, you will have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I'm still in the midst of it. Philippians chapter 2. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Verses 1 through 8, Philippians chapter 2. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege and the opportunity for us to open your word every single day. And Lord, thank you for the truth that when we open your word and read and meditate on your word, we're spending time in your presence. We're spending time listening to your counsel, your love, your mercy. And also, through your word, you touch us. You touch our hearts and our minds and our lives, and you pour grace into our lives in so many ways. What a blessing it is for us to have this one-on-one time with you every single day. Lord, help us to be wise enough to make time to get into your word every day. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would help us to be wise enough not only to spend that time in your word daily, but help us to make it a goal to daily encourage others to do the same. Help us to know, Lord, that as you use us to encourage others to begin to get in your word every day, that it's a supernatural connection that can have eternal fruit in the lives of others. Guide us so that daily we're helping others to see the wonderful gift and the power in your word and the ways your word blesses our lives, transforms our lives, and empowers our lives. We thank you and we praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, again for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to read it daily. Help us to make it the priority you want us to make it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you're aware that you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart simply pray this prayer with me and fully give your heart, commit your heart and your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you pray with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and I've done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. You told us in your word that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live for you all my life. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to seek you in prayer every day. Help me to live a life of obedience to your word every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you did pray that prayer and gave your heart and life to Christ, we definitely want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely would like to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to connect with you and get that information and those resources to you. Again, joseph@afr.net. And if you'd like to get a copy of the article we shared earlier, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.